It's Pizza Terra.
I know the song, I just don't know.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, but it's Pizza Terra, Dwayne. Released in 1982 as the lead single from the album Chicago 16. And the song, as well as the album on which it is featured, was a marked departure from Chicago's traditional soft rock horn-driven sound, taking on a polished and modern feel. With minimal horns, the track instead featured more layered synths and heavier distorted guitar in a contemporary 80s styling, which was actually quite controversial within the band and set Chicago band member Pizza Terra on course to disband from the band and have a successful solo career. But if anything screams power ballad, Dwayne, is there a song in the future that we could play for you?
Oh, power ballad. No, what's an Air Supply one? I've got myself confused.
Yes.
What's an Air Supply ballad?
Yes, someone will know.
Leonie? Come on, help me out there, listeners. Help me out.
2101, what is the Air Supply track? All right, now a big response regarding John Bishop and his mid-morning sausage roll. So happy to hear Chloe standing up for the low-wage workers. Kia kaha. I hope that grump listened and has a think about his behaviour. Another one here. That customer has a valid point. The shopkeeper could have said, sorry, we have run out. It has nothing to do with the living wage. It's answering the man's questions with a response, not shrug with the shoulders. I am with the customer in this case. Wallace, I work in customer service at a supermarket. I'm afraid your guest John shouldn't always expect businesses to care if individual customers are satisfied or not. In the end, it comes down to the impact of turning away a single customer. I do my best in customer service, but I see many supermarket workers going through the motions, and customers should be able to expect better. But the structure of many of our retail businesses is intended to protect businesses from revenue variations, including unhappy customers, says AJ. Kia ora, and thank you for all your responses this afternoon. Well, a new report has highlighted just how much the inflation spike has hit New Zealand's poorest the hardest. It's called The Real Cost of Inflation by ANZ economists Finn Robinson and Sharon Zollner. It shows that wages have suffered the biggest fall in more than a decade as rising costs outrun pay rises. To discuss is ANZ economist Finn Robinson. He was one of the authors. Finn, kia ora.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So if you think that your money isn't going as far as it used to, there's a reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the past 12 months, we've seen prices rise 4.9% for consumers. And so, you know, every dollar that you had last year is worth a whole lot less, and you still need to pay the rent, you still need to buy food. People are feeling it in the pocket.
I understand that 20% of households with the lowest incomes had tended to see the largest living cost increases, while the richest 20% have seen the smallest increases. Can you explain that a bit more for us? Why is that?
Well, I think part of it's to do with where those price increases are coming from. So for poorer households, they're spending money on things like food, they're spending money on rent and transport. And over the past year or so, we've seen that the biggest price increases have been driven by those things. And so for poorer households, they have to spend money on that stuff. You know, food's not really a negotiable, whereas for wealthier households who are spending money on items that aren't as essential and haven't been going up as much in price, it basically means that it's hitting them harder when you're a poorer household.
Dwayne Major, let's bring you in. What's your thoughts or questions on this?
When it comes to the whole thing, I suppose I want some. I voted top party last time, and sometimes I think, is there a fresh way of thinking about this, you know, with interest rates and inflation and the UBI? Is there some way or alternative way of looking at this than the standard way? I'm curious. I'm not an expert, but I'd love to know, is there another way of looking at this?
Well, I guess the sort of standard way of looking at it is through the Consumers Price Index, which is what the Reserve Bank looks at that measures inflation. And really what that misses is the distribution of these cost increases for different households. And when you look at the sort of the increase in wages that we're seeing, they haven't really come close to matching inflation yet. And to some extent, that reflects that it takes a while for wages to adjust. People have to go through salary negotiations or apply for jobs, that kind of thing. But it does show that, you know, price increases have been a lot faster than wages have been going ahead. And it does suggest that sort of there needs to be some sort of, I guess, thinking about how those higher price increases will impact the bottom line for households, because normally it's okay if you index your wages to inflation last year, because inflation is usually 2%, usually low and stable. But in an environment like this where you've got prices going up so strongly, those previous ways of setting wages, they do lead to significant lags, and that does eat into people's purchasing power, which is something you see a lot more when you look at this data across the different household incomes versus just the average, which the CPI captures.
Leonie?
Yeah, and I mean, if I just take something, quite narrow, like building construction materials, we've seen huge increases in prices in that, partly because manufacturers were shut down during COVID, and then the costs of bringing materials from overseas have increased. So we don't always have the control over what's going on. Finn, I'd be interested to ask, where do you think inflation will go over the next 12 months, bearing in mind we've still got some significant impacts of COVID to work through?
Yeah, so that's a really good thing to think about, is we actually think that inflation is going to get worse before it gets better. And that's probably pretty hard to hear if you've just experienced a decline in your purchasing power. But we are still seeing a lot of those impacts. You know, as you mentioned, the construction sector is going ham, is building as much as they can. And those materials are going up, I think, 4.5% each quarter of the last two quarters, which has been pretty intense. So we're thinking inflation is going to get close to 6% over the next couple of quarters. We do see it slowing down a bit, though, over the next year. And one of the real reasons for that is that we should see the economy, the global economy, global supply chain gradually adjust to whatever the new COVID normal looks like, with an endemic COVID and that kind of thing. So we should see prices come down in the global scale, and that should, obviously, being a small open economy, New Zealand will benefit from that. But we're also seeing interest rates rise as well, as the Reserve Bank is trying to put a sort of a dampener on inflation. And so over the next year, we should see things slow down to a more sustainable level.
Okay, good to have you on the program. That is Finn Robinson, an ANZ economist. He was one of the authors of a report. It's called The Real Cost of Inflation, which shows that wages have suffered the biggest fall in more than a decade as rising costs outrun pay rises. Now, the air supply song, you've answered Dwayne Major's question. Great gusto there.
It's what was that?
All out of love.
Yes, I just Googled it.
Oh, yes.
I agree. I'm so last week.
That's a good song.
You.
That's a great song.
I love it too.
Very good contender. Quite a few coming through. If you want to contend for our new Power Ballad Friday here on the panel at 4:30, don't text me. We've had so many texts this afternoon. I can't keep up. But if you email me, thepanel@rnz.co.nz, that again, thepanel@rnz.co.nz, and in the subject line, put Power Ballad, then we'll compile a list and we might play your Power Ballad. There's a couple here. Jen in Oamaru says, "Oh, Sherry," obviously. Oh. And another one here, "The Power of Love" by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. One of the greatest power ballads.
I agree.
Absolutely. One of the greatest power ballads of all time. Big response coming through regarding the interview with John Bishop and the mid-morning sausage roll, and Chloe and Kang. We might sneak in a bit more on that later on toward 5 o'clock. But to this first, we had a large response from listeners yesterday to a topic brought up by panellist Joe McCarroll, who mentioned a particularly emotional television ad. Now, there's no dialogue in this ad. It's all music, so I'll have to describe it to you. A man is at a grave that appears to be for his wife. On his way home from the cemetery, he passes by an animal shelter. He goes into that shelter and adopts a dog. We see the dog only has three legs. We see the man take his dog to the beach, and the camera reveals the man has also lost a leg. A lot of people got in touch and said it was a highly emotional ad. Here is Joe's view.
I am appalled by this ad because it is not an ad for an animal shelter or even an animal-related product. And it is for a company which is not in any way relevant to any of the content of the ad. And it is so manipulative. I mean, every time I see it, I am sobbing.
So that's what Joe said, and the response was polarising. Some of you agreed with Joe. Many of you simply loved the ad, and that was all there was to it. So it's not the only ad to have tugged at the heartstrings, but really it's quite up there regarding that. Vaughan Davis is from the Goat Farm Ad Agency. He has had many years in the ad world. Vaughan, kia ora.
Kia ora, Wallace, and tēnā korua panellists. How are you doing? Banger of a show today, by the way. Power ballads. Power ballads.
And sausage rolls, yeah.
And sausage rolls. Of course, you've got it. So I'm sure someone has suggested combining the two with I Love Sausage Rolls.
Yes. Go Vaughan. Go
Put
Vaughan.
Another dime in the jukebox, baby.
Yeah. You got it.
Okay, to the ad. All right, so I don't know why Joe got such a big response to this, but obviously a very emotional ad for many. Joe felt ripped off and highly manipulated. Why do ad agencies make ads like this?
Yeah, I can't believe she was accusing the advertising industry of being manipulative. Goodness me, where did that idea come from? I mean, when you're selling an undifferentiated product, right? Electricity, broadband, petrol, fizzy drink. You've got to bolt on something interesting to make, you know, the ad memorable, interesting, ideally move you towards action. And, you know, the two strongest ways to do that are through some of those, you know, deep, sad emotions or through humour. I mean, and most New Zealand ads go for humour.
What do you think of the ad itself?
I like it. I like it. I don't know if in 10 years' time people are going to look back and say, hey, that was one of the best, Kiwi ads of all time. But that, you know, that goes for those moving, sad ads in general. You know, if you look back and ask people what their favourite ads of all time are, they say, hey, it's the Crunchy Bar ad, or
right.
it's the Bugger ad, or it's even the Pixie Caramel ad, you know, stuff with a bit of, or Ghost Chip, stuff with a bit of fun in it. That those are the ones that New Zealanders tend to remember.
Interesting. But this is, it is so emotional. It's actually, when I look at it, it's actually quite a clever ad, and it really brings out the emotion.
It's really clever. It's really, and doing ads like that is really hard. I mean, I always default to funny. You know, the ads I write, I try to be funny. So to play it straight and play it emotional is hard. But, you know, through a veil of tears, are you going to go online and switch, electricity and internet providers? Don't know.
But before I get to the panelists, what on earth has a three-legged dog and one-legged man meeting up? What on earth has it got to do with a bundle provided by Trustpower?
It's togetherness. They're talking about togetherness. And I was looking back on some old Trustpower ads, and you know, it's not the first time they've played the dog card, I was reminded. They did a series of ads a while ago with a couple of cosplayers, which is not that relatable. You know, people who go to Armageddon and things like that, and they kind of met and fell in love, and then so did their dogs. So, you know, there is an idea behind it, as there will be in almost any ad you see on the TV if you look closely enough.
Okay, Dwayne Major, you first on this.
Dogs have been used to sell toilet paper, haven't they? That's a strange connection. I was surprised that they were so, in the article, up front about, they said, emotional brand advertising works better on people's subconscious brain than long-term rational. They were upfront about that. That surprises me. I personally would like them to work on my conscious brain. So here's an idea. I'll run it by you, Vaughan.
Yep.
What if Trustpower was to go dollar for dollar for donations for a beautiful beach in the Coromandel? I think that would move my subconscious and my conscious brain. How about that one?
I think you're onto something absolutely powerful there. And you'll remember, of course, Spark got on that bus, the Spark Foundation, a couple of years ago down south. It's you know, cause-related advertising is absolutely potent and powerful. If it's relevant, right? If it's a relevant cause.
Oh, a Coromandel Beach, I think it would go far.
Yeah, well,
I must say, back in the day, that we approached ANZ and Air New Zealand, and that was just too much for them. But we were quoting their advertising, Dream Big New Zealand, but I just couldn't quite get them across the line. But Spark and Colliers and the Kathmandu and particularly Stuff did come across the line. So it did make a difference back in the day, and maybe there's an opportunity here that doesn't involve a dog.
Okay, Leonie Freeman.
Yeah, well, actually, I like the ad. I mean, yes, it's definitely emotional and brings the tears to your eyes. But I sort of also wondered that it brings a slightly different perspective as well around diversity. and that it shows something that we're all different and we don't have to be perfect. Because if you think about advertisements from, you know, years ago, it was always about everybody being perfect, whereas this is that, you know, hey, we're not all perfect and that's okay. And I thought that was quite a good message. So we're together, but we're not all perfect.
Yeah, Leonie, absolutely agree. And it's interesting. I think we're in phase one of that change in advertising because, you know, the only reason there's a legless man in the ad is because that's the point of the ad. The next phase is when there's going to be, you know, a legless man or a person with an arm missing, and that's not part of the narrative. It's just normal. You know, that's where I hope we end up.
Adam on Twitter says, Wallace, the tripod dog and owner ad is the tripod, the trust power perhaps, is the bomb. Absolutely destroyed my family. A lot of people are saying, Vaughan, why don't you people in the ad agency, the creative sector, get your act together and just provide the basic information? So, for example, trust power, you've got a person saying on camera, this is the bundle, our company's trust power. This is how I use it.
Sorry, I'm going.
This is why we're good.
I'm falling asleep, Wallace. I'm falling asleep.
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep.
nobody would talk about it.
No, but
something
but,
funny or moving.
Yeah. But Vaughan, here's the deal. You're telling the truth at last.
Yep, but I mean, the truth well told is what advertising is all about. But you've got to get someone's attention in order to tell them the truth. So that ad is not going to make someone buy. That ad is going to make someone think, oh, Trustpower, I've heard of them. Next time they're looking to change providers, then they'll look at the numbers and then they'll go, yeah, okay, those guys, I'll go with them.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And I just think too, Wallace, that the guy mentioned some of the historic ads like the Milky Bar Kid ad. And I remember seeing a program on something quite a long time ago. And at the time, the Milky Bar ad was really innovative because the kid had glasses and they'd never had kids on television. Yes. And so when they did that, it made a huge difference to kids who wore glasses and it made it cool. And, you know, so now we wouldn't think too much about it. But that was quite innovative to say, actually, you don't have to be perfect, that we can have a Milky Bar kid wearing glasses. And that was quite change, you know, a real change thing for that time.
Yes, yes. And on a final note, Vaughan, we all have ads, don't we? I've seen some ads. I mean, I was a former, in interest of disclosure, I was a former creative director for 95BFM for many years. And we all love, whether we say or not, we do love good creative and advertising, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely we do. And that's why the Fair Go Ad Awards is the best rating show they do all year. You know, it's part
is
of
it?
Our culture. For better
is
or worse,
it?
We love it. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know that. Vaughan Davis from...
There's a show there.
Goat... from Goat Farm Ad Agency. Thank you, Vaughan. 9 away from 5. You're on the panel with me, Wallace Chapman, this afternoon. We are with Dwayne Major and Leonie Freeman. Big response regarding veteran political journalist John Bishop. He went into a service station several times. They didn't have sausage rolls. The person shrugged. He wrote a response about it. Anyway, Leslie says, what's happened to the customer is always right, an old-fashioned courtesy in treating others as you like to be treated. Okay, I'm showing my age, 78. This is not about the sausage roll, Wallace. It's about the response. Another one person says, that petrol station owner should ban this guy. It is a private business on private property and anyone is there by invitation only. Ban John Bishop. Another one says, the sausage roll discussion, where has common courtesy and good manners gone? Your hospitality advocate misses the point. I would never even employ a person showing such disinterest. Doesn't deserve a job. Well, the Black Caps face India in the second of two tests in Mumbai and look to go one better than they did in Kanpur, where they finished with a lone wicket in hand as they secured a draw. A win would cap a memorable year where they earned the number one test ranking for the first time. First ball, 5 p.m. New Zealand time. So, 8 minutes time. Paul Ford is from the Beige Brigade. Paul, kia ora, thanks for coming on again.
Kia ora, Wallace. I've got bad news, actually. It's raining in Mumbai, of all places. And the seas are delayed. This is good.
This is good
for New Zealand. This is good. We need to spring this out. It's all good.
Why is it good?
Because getting to the fifth day against India is an absolute miracle. So any assistance that we can get to make that happen, i.e. a rain delay, that's good. Also, we keep on losing the toss. So if we have to bowl a little bit of smog and steam in the air. 85% humidity in Mumbai at the moment. It's going to be helpful.
A win would be amazing, Paul. Hey? I mean, that would make it their first in India since, what, maybe 1988?
That's right. And, you know, to put that in context, you know, Virat Kohli was in nappies, basically a newborn. Kane Williamson wasn't born. You know, Richard Hadlee was still bowling. He was about to go to the top of the heap for test wickets. The West Indies were top of the pile from for cricket teams. And, you know, it's just so, so long ago. And you're right, Wallace, it would be quite extraordinary. I mean, nobody goes to India and expects to win, let alone lowly old New Zealand. But this team just keep doing it. They've just done it for the last few years, just overachieving in really difficult circumstances and against the odds. And, you know, no Bolt, no Conway. And there's a little bit of a word about that. Maybe Williamson's elbow's playing up. So, yes, it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be an interesting toss even.
Yes. All right. Let's go. Let's see if the panel are on board with the cricket this afternoon. Leonie?
Yeah, so Paul, it sounds like that we need to pray for rain for a little bit to make sure it's delayed. But I just think the Black Caps have done such a fantastic job this year in really challenging circumstances because, you know, a lot of them haven't been able to come home easily. And you know, we often ask underrated, but the team's been doing so well. And I just hope that we could get a win in this Test series. That would just top off the year amazingly. So good luck, Black Caps, and come home with a win. It would be wonderful.
Oh, I'm totally with you. And, you know, I guess my slightly facetious, you know, let's try and make the game last as long as possible is probably a bit of a sign of watching too much cricket over through the 80s and through the 90s and a bit of trauma associated with that. And, you know, actually this team don't deserve it. They've got themselves into positions and done things that other teams just haven't been able to do, and they've done it consistently for a long time. So maybe I should just be a bit more optimistic and say, get out there and play. Let's give these guys a hiding.
Absolutely. Dwayne Major.
I say keep the faith. Keep the faith. I'll be praying for the win. Are you allowed to do that? I reckon if they had six days to play the 5 days to ensure they had the whole time. I know it's against the odds, but I am a believer. I'm wearing my white Black Caps test top. I'm waiting. I'm so disappointed it's not going to start at 5 o'clock. I've had such a wonderful ride. They're incredible ambassadors for the country and what we are about. And when we beat England just recently, that was like catharsis. I honestly was on the ground beating my fist. Yes. And so I take my hat off to those guys, but I'm praying for the win. Go well, Black Caps.
This Paul, you and the likes of others who really do follow Pickett from the Beige Brigade and the alternative commentary and other sort of sports broadcasters, followers, commentators and lovers, this must be a real time for you. I mean, whatever happens, 2021 will go down in history as one of the Black Caps' greatest years, huh?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And as I say, I think if you've watched the team for a long time, you love the game, and winning's always been a bonus for New Zealand, and it's been this incredible purple patch that let's just hope it can go, you know, five more days. One thing that I really love about this team is that there's some magic that's happening in that environment, some sort of incredible chemistry where you've got new players that can come in and excel. I think there's something going on there, which is awesome. You have guys like Conway come in and they do amazing, and Jamieson, and I know they're great, they're all terrific players and stuff, but we've had a lot of good players come into the Black Caps team and just really not be able to pull it off. And I loved seeing Ravindra. You know, I think there's something going on in that environment. They're doing something special in there, and that's an amazing thing too.
Good on you, Paul. Kia ora. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. That is Paul Ford from the Beige Brigade. It's coming up to, well, it's 2.5 minutes away from 5 o'clock. And the new power ballad Friday, the emails have been rolling in, or the emails of what we should have for the next power ballad Friday. Keep them coming. The panel at rnz.co.nz. So on that note, I just thought we might roll up slowly. Pizza Terra, ex-Chicago, once again, here we go, to finish off a Friday where everybody in Tamaki Makaurau is having a wonderful day. Here, you're going to hear it very, very soon. And both of you, what are you up to this weekend, Leonie?
Oh, well, I think that we can get out and about, and might have to head to a cafe and some shopping and catch up with some friends and be able to sit inside.
Lovely. Dwayne?
No.
My son has returned from Japan, and we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner tonight with pumpkin pie and the whole works. I cannot wait.
Oh, wow.
I will watch my daughter's cricket, and I'll sit down and watch as much of the test cricket as I can.
Kia ora to you both. Thank you very much for being with me. Thank you to Alex Higby for producing the last couple of weeks on the panel, and thank you to you for listening.